podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Yeah, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. So care about
by your speakers. Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
With me are Ralph from Homicide Black and Nick from Six Speed Kill. Basically, I'm going to give him a chance to tell a story or a recording story about the tracks that they have on the album, a little bit about their band, and then we'll be moving on to listening to it on the actual podcast, which you will have to wait for. And then shortly after that, you'll see me going live again, and we'll be talking to the band Deathlehem. So make sure you stick around. All right. So, Ralph, Homicide Black has track number 3, Behind.
Yeah.
What can you tell me about that track?
Kind of
like a VH1 Storytellers.
Well, it's actually the first song that I've gotten to write for Homicide Black. I wrote it like in 2009. And it's, pretty much when you listen to it, it's kind of self-explanatory. It's a relationship gone wrong kind of a song. You know what I mean? just out of all that, just sat down and started writing, and boom, there it was. And I've had it for all those years, and like tried to do something with it and never really took off. And then Jazz brought this compilation CD up and was like, "Hey, you got anything?" And I was like, "Yeah." And we were sitting around his, you know, it was outside patio, and he had an acoustic guitar, and I was like, "This is a song." And I started playing it, and he was like, "Cool, let's go record it." So we did it. And that was it. Sean came down and did it. And actually, Mikey Mixter wrote the little lead part. And I wanted to get him on it because, you know, he wrote that part and I felt like he should be on there. So, you know, but by the time he got there, Sean had already done that part on a out of tune dobro on the slide guitar. So we were like, "We can't have you play the same part, then let make something else up." And like 10 minutes later, he wrote the little acoustic part that you hear behind the chorus, and that's what made it in. And I mean, really, it took no time at all to do.
When you mentioned Mikey, I automatically think Robbie. Which coincidentally lets me pull in your t-shirt there, the Endeavor After LLC.
Yeah, right there. A little bit of there. I get t-shirts off of him all the time, so it's all good.
I get work off of him all the time.
There you go. Even better.
I run his website, so I get a lot of, "This isn't working," or "Could you make it do this?"
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you are in a local band or have a local business in the Pittsburgh area, make sure you check out EndeavorAfterLLC.com. And Homicide Black's website is homicideblack.com. That's an easy one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think they're on everything. Yeah, Instagram, YouTube, yeah, Facebook, all that stuff. I think they're everywhere.
So Nick's been sitting there quietly listening for a little while.
Just taking it all in.
What can you tell me about your track, Nick?
Well, we wrote it a couple years ago. Our ex-drummer actually came up with the concept, and then me and the other guitar player Luke kind of smoothed it out a little bit, because that's typically how we write. Just decided it was a good track to put on the compilation. Certain songs that I write lyrics to, I put a lot of thought into. This was not one of them, so it's just a simple FU rock and roll song, and thought it'd be a fun track to put on there. And just a little tidbit, I tried to get that our ex-drummer to do this interview today because I typically don't like doing too many interviews. And he hasn't played with us since we recorded this song. So we recorded it, and the day later he goes, oh, man, I don't know if I can do this anymore. So he quit. Oh, so I was trying to rope him into doing it and say, hey, man, just get on there and say, every time he asks you a question, go, I don't know, I quit that band right after I wrote that song. He was going to work, so couldn't get him to do it. He got me instead. But it's just a fun song, really.
I know how Ralph knows jazz, but how did you meet jazz?
Actually, through work outside of music, through, you know, our day to day lives. We worked together quite a bit, and okay. We got to know each other a number of years ago. I think when he was playing in Hateful Vacuum at that time, I think still Wish On, and then
I have some of those tracks on my station.
Right.
You're watching videos just, the other night.
Kind of kept in touch, and Jazz recorded our first album. You know, every track on it. This last one, we got in with the label and everything, which was great. But he, you know, he's got a little piece of history of Six Speed Kill right in his basement.
So I'm going to gravitate towards Nick a little bit because I'm familiar with Homicide Black and Half Will and most of Jazz's stuff. It's the first time I've spoken to Nick, so he's probably going to panic now that I said that.
Good luck.
That's all right. I'll just have connection problems real quick.
See, Ralph knows the types of questions I ask.
Yeah.
We're not going that route.
Okay.
All right.
My question is, where did the band name come from?
You know, we were actually called a different band name for about two shows, and it didn't fit what we were going for. And our bass player, Steve, came up with it. And he rides motorcycles. Like, if I had to make him choose between riding motorcycles and this band, he would pick motorcycles, you know, 10 out of 10 times.
So probably don't.
It was just, you know. Yeah, he just wanted something that sounded fast. You know, he's the Ricky Bobby of the band. He just wants to go fast. So he came up with it, and we're like, yeah, I mean, it sounds pretty cool. We didn't like the last name, so we scrapped it after two shows. And, you know, we'd only played twice, so it's not like a whole lot of people knew who the hell we were anyway. So it just made sense to go with that. And just kind of a catchy sounding name, we thought. Not too much thought, just, hey, guys, I came up with this. What do you think? We're like, yeah, that's better. Let's go with it. And then I donated a box of T-shirts to one of the Goodwills around town. I think 100 T-shirts of the old band name.
So there are people wearing that shirt, but the band doesn't actually.
Yeah, I saw a kid wearing one at a Sheetz one time. And I was like, I know he doesn't know who the hell these people are, but I think it's funny he's wearing the shirt.
How could my listeners find your band online?
Facebook's probably the easiest way. We also have a Bandcamp, so I think it's bandcamp.com/sixspeedkill, something like that. All spelled out.
Sixspeedkill.bandcamp.com.
Yeah, we've got some live videos and one professionally produced video via our label Rusty Knuckles on YouTube as well. So if you just search us there, I think the pro videos we got will probably be the first couple that pop up. So that's a good way to just kind of get in and listen real quick. And of course, all the streaming sites, Spotify, Apple Music, everything else, it's on there. So if you want to go, you know, get the albums that way. We also have vinyl of both of our albums. So any record nerds out there like me, feel free to reach out to us on Facebook, or you can also order it on Bandcamp. I don't think I have the newer one on Bandcamp yet because we were kind of letting the label push that for a little while, but I do have plenty to sell as well. So feel free to reach out to us direct and I can make that happen for you.
Awesome. Tim Doverspike from Unbroken Souls sending love to both of you guys.
Yeah, I saw that. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
I interviewed his lead guitarist yesterday, so he didn't get to be in one of the sessions. But he's been in the chat for them, which is cool. Back to you, Ralph. Only because I need you to verify something that Sean said that he will never admit to.
I think I know what you're talking about because I watched it yesterday.
Is it true that they have never driven the golf cart?
I would say, well, as long as I've been there, it never it doesn't run. I mean, it's just there, and we kind of hop on it, move it where we want to move it, and pretty much we molest the golf cart. We do whatever we want to do with the golf cart.
Nick, are you familiar with that story at all?
I think I've seen it a little bit on Jazz's social media about once a year.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the next album we do, we should have just every picture of every year of the golf cart.
He didn't really answer my other question. I wanted to know who had to go into the dumpster after the boot when you were done.
Well, actually, he was all chopped up in the garbage. That was him in the garbage bags. Yeah, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
All right, so last thing, and I'll let you gentlemen go so I can get prepared for Deathlehem too. This is going to be one of my crazy questions because we have a little bit of time. And we'll let Ralph answer first since he has at least a little bit of an idea of where we're headed here. Ralph, if I was flipping through my social studies book at school and I found Homicide Black on the pages about the pandemic, why would you be included in the pandemic history lesson?
I'd probably be like the first bass player that got sick and died from the pandemic or some stupid crap. Like, and Sean would be, on a hill somewhere with an apple being like, well, you know, and Jazz would be driving the golf cart over him.
Fair enough. He didn't really give you much time, Nick.
That's all right. I got a good one for you. So in the year 2022, during the sixth wave of the coronavirus pandemic, the history books renamed that sixth wave Six Speed Kill because of the high death toll.
That was an awesome answer.
My story is kind of morbid now, I feel bad. but that's the way we are.
Hey, thank you guys. What I'm going to do next here on the episode is we're going to listen to their songs, Homicide Black's Behind and Six Speed Kill, Sin to Win. And after that, we will be interviewing a few more people and playing some more music off of the album. With me now are Doug Carnahan from After the Fall and Terry Blair. Should I say formerly of Among Thorns?
Yeah, either or.
Terry is the little white dot there in the middle.
Best picture I've taken in years.
Terry, maybe of Among Thorns, maybe not.
So let's start with Terry. You guys were selected in the 2020 draft as track number 11. Sorry, I drew the number.
Hey.
Drew the papers.
Yeah, say best for last. Say, I don't know. It doesn't matter where we were at on it. It's just the artists that are on that band. It's just awesome to be a part of that package.
I didn't even make it halfway through before I messaged Doug Jazz and said, hey, I want to do something with this.
Yeah, anytime you start off with Royal Honey, it just, you know, it goes from there and just doesn't stop. So it's a well put together piece.
And I like, had I not known that the order was drawn by hat, you wouldn't know it fits very well together. Which is also weird because it's 11 different bands that fit really well together.
Yeah, I think it's a good indication on what's happening in the area too. You know, that's it's a good mix of where we're at. I kind of dig it.
So what can you tell me about the song Hollow?
Hollow. I wrote the lyrics to it. Damon come up with the main guitar riff on it. And, Kate kind of just brought the emotion and the power to the song of it. And, I wrote it in a pretty dark spot, and it kind of just represents on how I was feeling at the time and, you know, dealing with some, it kind of deals with some veteran PTSD issues and stuff like that. And depending on how you kind of dig into it, or it could just deal with wherever someone's feeling at the time. And the words just kind of came out, and I was lucky enough to have some guys that were able to put it to music.
You were telling me that off the air that you're in the process of starting another project. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we got another project going right now where it's all veterans in the band, and we're doing some veteran-oriented songs. We're writing some veteran-oriented songs, some PTSD-oriented songs, some awareness songs, and then so some old classics that you kind of think that when you start seeing veteran movies or war movies or soldiers, the songs that kind of fit into that realm and the pro-patriotic America stuff, and just basically just having a great time with it. You know, expectations are low, but we're achieving everything we wanted to and going straight from it. You know, this project's really taken off, and I really dig the direction it's going in.
Is there a name for the project yet?
Not quite. We're not 100% settled on it, but I think we should have it by the end of the week.
Nice. Are there any musicians that Doug and I would be familiar with that are playing with you?
Right now, there's Kate is singing, obviously. My son's playing guitar. Eric Walker from he was in Gunpowder and Lilac with me. He's playing the other guitar. our one drummer, he had to drop out with some personal issues once this whole COVID hit and everything. So we've got JC from Evil Bo Weevil and Order 66 playing drums with us now. And the dynamic and the cohesiveness is just fantastic that everybody's bringing to the table. And so I don't think there's other than Kate, I don't think there's and JC, there's not a whole lot of recognition there, but it's just a bunch of people got together that are like-minded and just want to have fun.
I'm going to come back to you momentarily, but Doug, you guys were track. Let's see if I can count quickly. What is that, like 6? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yep, 6 on the album. Not good to me, buddy. He's like, I don't know.
I know we're on there, I hope.
There.
You think I'm going to read that, Bill? Seriously?
Right there.
Okay. I think you're right. I think that was 6. Looked like 6.
Suicide March.
Correct.
What can you tell me about that? Are there any interesting stories about the writing of it? Or?
Well, it's actually a really old song, man. I wrote that, think here. Maybe about 13, no, even more than that. Like probably about 14 or 15 years ago, man. It's been a while. It predates After the Fall by quite a bit. I was actually on house arrest at the time when I wrote it. And it's just, you know, kind of about how people, no matter what, to their detriment, you know, they'll just continue to just, you know, self-destruct. You know what I'm saying? Even though you know it's the wrong thing to do, you know that it's not good for you or good for society at large or whatever. You know, people, no matter what, they know better, but they just continue to just self-destruct, man. Just, you know, just keep on marching, buddy.
A side question for you. I keep going back and listening to New SA.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How did you know that was coming? it's like a biography of what's going on right now.
Well, Bill, honestly, dude, I can't say I knew for sure what was coming, but it just seemed like it was going that direction, man. You know, I mean, it wasn't even just like so much what was coming, but what it is, what the state of it. You know, even if people don't want to see it that way, you know, they choose to live in a, you know, ignorance is bliss kind of mentality, it's always there. It's always been there. You know, it's just a matter of now people are paying attention to it because everything's politicized. And, you know, I mean, just, you know, I mean, 8-12 years ago, you know, people voted and that was it. You know, you hear some people talk about politics, you turn on the news, you hear politics, but that's about it. You know, now you go to Starbucks, the politics are involved. You go to, you know, Disneyland, politics are somehow involved. You know, and it's just been bubbling, man. You know, so I just saw it. It's unfortunate. I wish it wasn't right, you know, but I saw it coming, I guess.
I don't even like, I'm a very neutral person.
Sure.
In all things. So it's very hard for me to look on social media and see my friends getting along.
I know. Well, people lose friends. I mean, like when you have friends that you've known for years, you know, I mean, good friends, and they're willing to just cast the friendship aside because you can't, you know, agree on politics. You know, it blows my mind. I mean, you go into a bar, what are the rules? No politics, no religion. You know, it should be the same on Facebook. You know, no politics, no religion. And I guarantee people get along, but they don't, you know, they want to talk. And everyone thinks their view is, you know, oh, my view is the right one. My view is the right one. You know, that's why, you know, when I wrote the new essay, it was just, you know, neutral, man. It's, you know, it's both sides, both sides. And they're both out to get you, brother. You know, they'll make you think it's the other side's against you. They're both out to get you. You know, they just want you to think that, you know, oh, this is my side's right. You know, take a trip to Washington and figure out what really happened down there. You'll realize neither one of them is for you.
So switching back to the compilation, how did each of you end up on these discs? How did you decide which song you're going to record with Jazz?
You want to go first, big guy?
Go ahead, Doug.
No, you go ahead. No, after you, please.
Oh, no. All right. We had talked to Jazz about recording a song for us, recording Hollow for us, and we were going to release, that was going to be our single release. And so Jazz actually recorded two songs for us, Hollow and then a song called A Little More Human. And then and Hollow came out real good. A Little More Human came out fantastic. But shortly after the release, we decided to go our separate ways, and we were all just so impressed with how Hollow turned out. And Jazz asked if he could use Hollow instead, and by all means, absolutely use Hollow. And it was just one of those things. We were working with Jazz at the time, and you know, he heard what we were doing. He's like, "Hey, would you like to be a part of this?" Absolutely. You know, I would be crazy to say no to it.
Doug?
Jazz just messaged us. It was nothing interesting, man. He just messaged us and asked if we wanted to be on a compilation CD. And we decided we wanted to use a song that we hadn't put on an album, any of our albums, because we knew we have a new disc coming out. So we didn't want to do anything that was going to be on the new disc. So we just decided we'd go with Suicide March because we never had recorded it or used it for anything. So, but we're incidentally, though, it's going to be on the new album anyways. So what are you going to do?
That reminds me. I did see that you guys haven't. Another EP in the works.
It's done, man. It's done now. It's just getting pressed, and it'll be out after that. I'm actually gonna be on the phone with a conference call with a record label tomorrow, talking about like the release plan and all that stuff. I'm talking to the label owner and PR guy from Israel. So figure out, man. Yeah, hopefully in the next 90 days, I think it's supposed to be coming out. So I'm not. I can't. Say more than that, though. That's all I got. That's all I got.
Hey, well, we'll be in touch when it comes out.
Yes, you will. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Now you get to deal with some of my oddball questions for a moment.
Wouldn't be a show without it.
That's right. Let's see. What off-the-wall question can I ask you guys? Terry will be a little easier. I talk to Doug a lot.
All right.
Terry.
Get ready, Terry.
If you could sit on a bench for an hour and speak to anyone in music history, but only ask them one question, who would you want to speak with, and what question would you ask that person?
Well, holy shit.
I have to put your clothes on for this one, buddy.
That's a tough one. 1 hour, one question.
Yep.
I mean, there's guys I've looked up to, you know, Ian Hill and Cliff Williams and Francis Buchholz and everything like that. Rudy Sarzo, but I don't know that you could ask him just one question. Cliff Williams has been kind of my guy for the last 30 years, 40 years. Holy shit, I'm old. I would just ask him what it's like, you know, what it's like just to do that consistently at the level he's done for so long. You know, he's doing something we all want to do, you know, and it's and he's not doing it flashy, and he's not doing it, you know, some kind of overblown technical prowess with unnecessary notes, as I like to call them, but he's probably one of the most solid ones out there. And I'd probably just ask him, you know, what it's like to do that, you know, and especially in the venues that he's been able to do that with. And that ought to take up some time.
Doug, you want to answer that one, or you want a different one?
No, I can answer that one, buddy. I would talk to Michael Jackson, and I would ask him if it was worth it. If it was worth all, like, you know, like getting into the entertainment industry and everything, and with, you know, how life ended up being for him and his ultimate, you know, early demise, if that was all worth it. If he could do it again, would he do it again? You know, or would he, you know, pick something different, maybe be a little more low key. That's what I'd ask him.
I can't imagine life without Michael Jackson.
You know, they just actually added a station on Sirius, my Michael Jackson station. I've had Sirius now for almost over a year. And it, you know, they have a station dedicated to fish. They have a station dedicated to Pitbull. They have a station. They have all, yeah, right. Exactly. But no Michael Jackson. And I've said to my kids all the time, we're in the car, I'm like, you know, why of all the people, why not have Michael or Prince or, you know, somebody? Why, you know, Pitbull, really? Like, you know, so incidentally, they just started this special, you know, I guess like a limited time station thing, but they have a Prince station and a Michael Jackson station for the next month or so. Life without Michael Jackson would be life.
So many legendary songs.
Right, how many people do you influence?
Right. And Prince, yeah, too, for that matter.
Yeah, I'm just exactly. trying to, you know, I'm just trying to figure out how Pitbull has a station to play
right?
that much stuff.
You and me both. It'll
be the
buddy.
Same three songs over and over again.
All it is, oh yeah, that's it, man.
This question has backfired on me quite a few times, and we only have about 3 minutes, so you guys
go
have to be concise with this. So I've interviewed you both on numerous times, Doug more than Terry, but both of you. If the roles would reverse and you were interviewing me, what question would you ask me?
You go first, everybody. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got it. I would probably, what's the one question that you wish you would have asked to what artist that you just forgot to ask? Like at the end of the interview, you're like, well, shit.
Can I alter that slightly?
Oh, it's your show.
Okay. It's your show.
So back in the 2000s, before that I started this show, I met Gene Simmons. And nice. Had I known that I was going to do this, I would have asked him to come on.
You think he would have?
No.
How much you think he'd have charged?
No.
How much you think he'd have charged you for it?
Enough that it wouldn't have happened.
Bill, I'd ask you if you could be in any band, what band would it be and what instrument would you play?
So the running joke, and I don't know if you caught it recently, it popped up again. At one point, I took a picture of Homicide Black, and I edited it. I think it was Ralph. I edited it out and put myself over top of Ralph. And
bass players get no love.
Right.
And I put it was now, what did I call it? Homicide Bill. That's what I called it.
Okay.
And coincidentally, I've often thought about trying to learn how to play bass. So that kind of fits.
All right.
Although when I was a little kid, I wanted to learn how to play the drums, but my parents wouldn't buy them for me.
Now what band do you want to be in?
No, that's tough.
Any band. It doesn't have to be a local band. Any band.
And my favorite band is Kiss, but I wouldn't want to be in Kiss. There's way too much drama.
Right. You don't need that. Drama. You don't need that in your life.
I could see you in cat makeup.
That's funny because as a kid, I did a Halloween parade dressed as Peter Criss.
Did you?
I did. With hit sticks. This little plastic.
Right. No, yeah. With the little speaker thing. I remember those. Yeah. Hit sticks. I thought about that 30 years.
Wow, that's hard. Maybe Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Lynyrd Skynyrd, good choice. Yeah.
Good choice. Multiple reasons. Like they have a lot of legendary music, but also I could be on stage and nobody would know I was there. Because there's so many people.
I think I'd be a good fit for you, Bill. I think Lynyrd Skynyrd would be a good fit for you, buddy. I think you'd fit right in.
Maybe not flying the rebel flag, but the rest of it.
Sure.
Hey, that didn't backfire nearly as badly as it has in the past. All right, so I do want to thank you guys for coming on. I'm going to play your tracks next. So we're going to hear After the Fall of Suicide March and Among Thorns Hollow. And after that, we should be hearing from, let's see, A Common Crown. I'm trying to remember who I haven't spoken to yet. Scarlet Sky and Union of Souls. I'm sure
pleasure's all mine, sir.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Control.
So each of you are from one of the bands that are on the CD. We have Kyle, Jason from Scarlet Sky, and Danny from Union of Souls. And if you've watched any of the videos, you know where we're headed here. We're going to talk to them a little bit. Then once we talk about the album, I'm going to ask some of my oddball questions that they're probably not ready for. And we'll go from there. So, Danny, let's start with you. The Union of Souls track. I believe it's Queens of the New Age.
Queens of the New Age.
What can you tell me about that track?
Well, I can tell you that we started out as a writing project, and me and Steve, the singer, and I stole some drums from some library on the internet. Thank you, Arnold Krakoka from Czechoslovakia, wherever he was, for a library. And we just got together and writing, and it just happened. And then, did a lot of the recording at home, the pre-pro and stuff like that. And then I took it to, I let Jazz and Sean hear it. I'm like, hey, cause they told me, Jazz was like, doing a, compilation CD. And I'm like, cool, man. I'm like, can I get either one of these songs on there? Cause we had two at the time that were, that I could let people listen to. And they were like, yeah, man, you pick either one. And I'm like, so I'm ultimately grateful to those guys for, giving our little project a shot in the arm. And, so that's how it happened. But the track, I'm not going to tell you what it's about. It's, like any song. I mean, lyrics mean different things to different people. So, but we had a lot of fun doing it, man. And like Steve, the singer, we were in a band back in the 80s and 90s and early 90s. And he came back to town. He's like, hey, let's write some songs. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And we did.
Not call this
now,
down.
Now the project is, we have Jeff Banzalone on drums. He's from Sacred Dominion, band I played with. And, a couple of the other guys from that band and, Sean and Jazz are probably going to write a song or two with us. And, so that's what it's about. That's what the project's about and the song's about, whatever you want it to be about.
I don't know if you saw, I popped up on the screen, Tim Doverspike from Unbroken Soul while you were talking, said he loved your song.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Tim. Hey, I'll tell you what, this album, because Union of Souls, it's like I said, it is what it is. But this album right here and what Jazz did with all you guys, with all of us, is incredible. And like getting to hear it all, I sit there and I go, man, I mean, there is some talented, talented bands. Every single one is talented on here. And it's just awesome to hear. I mean, it really is, man. It really is. And Jazz did an unbelievable job, man. Unbelievable job. I mean, come on. Now we need it to open up so people can do shows and I can come and see bands play that like now I've just been introduced to, like it just it's awesome. What a great CD. What a great idea. And like, man, he just did a great job of it.
So I'm gonna
thank you for doing this, man, because it forced me to go make a Facebook page.
You're welcome. So I'm gonna move on to Common Crown.
Those guys are a good band, by the way, you guys in Common Crown. I got to see you at Gigaroo.
Thank you. So,
I had to think about the pronunciation because I was corrected on the pronunciation a while back. So, but no, great band, man. You guys are really good, man. I enjoy your music.
Thank you. Well, I really appreciate that. I was really looking forward to that event in particular this year, because last year the Power actually went out, and I was looking forward to playing that event the entire year. And then so the Power went out. We played acoustic, so it was still cool, but you didn't get the full, So this year I kind of retained, I held back a little bit. And then like Silk Nine, the other band that our drummer Matt is in, and as well as your buddy Nestor there.
And Jazz.
Yeah, well, yeah, and Jazz.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, listen, man. I mean, with Union of Souls, I was like, look, we had a cup. Everybody that tried to help us with that, I love them. They were fantastic. But in the end, Jeff Anzalone and our drummer, the Sacred Dominion drummer, I said, dude, come over here. Because if he would have said no, I'd have been calling Ferrante. He'd have been in like, what, his 30th band?
Yeah, somewhere around there, maybe 31st.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, what is he playing everything?
Oh, but yeah.
He's a good dude and a great drummer, man.
There's a reason for that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it took me about probably 3 or 4 months of being in the band to finally realize, hey, he doesn't hate me. I kind of always thought he like didn't like me, but we're good. Don't worry. So Silk Nine finished up playing. I'm like, holy crap, this is like actually happening. We're finally going to get to rock and roll here. I like it. So no, I'm really looking forward to playing again. You know, it just seems like kind of festivals are kind of like our little hope. The bar shows and stuff, you know, with the current state of things, it's you know, it's awesome. You have no idea what can happen.
Right.
So your track is If You Want. Mm-hmm. What can you tell me about that?
So that one was written by actually our singer Jen's friend, Nate Lawler, I believe, 20 years ago. And they've been playing that song for, you know, a while. And I think she might have played in another band at one point. But that was actually the first song that I recorded with the band before our CD right there. Yeah.
Over the shoulder there, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
you should pick that up and show it real fast. Bring it into the camera.
We just put this out earlier this year.
Nice.
The Reckoning, 4-song EP recorded at Tonic. Very proud of everything. That was the first CD I've ever personally put out, and I'm proud of every single note on it. But we actually recorded If You Want originally. That was the first song I ever recorded, like, period, that was going to be released. And then, you know, we went over to Jazz's, and Matt's wife, funny enough, had made fun of me because I had long white socks on. And, you know, of course, out of all the things in the pictures, there was the guitar, the dog, Steve, you know, whatever. She notices the socks. And now there's like an ongoing joke of, you know, don't wear white socks when you play.
You haven't been around her when she talks to the Hill Jack, have you? Because you would have learned that lesson.
Well, like I said, I'm still relatively new, you know, about 3 years in the local scene playing out and about, and I've been in a common crown for about going on 2 years now, I believe. So we recorded that, and I remember I laid down my solo fold, and everyone in the room, and this is going to sound very arrogant, but they turned at me and smiled, and, you know, just when the song all came together, I was incredibly proud of it. So we ended up putting that out as a single. Mike Alka had mastered that after Jazz had recorded and everything, released that, I want to say, probably 2-3 months ago. And then obviously it's on the Population CD as well. And it's a real punk kind of song, which is kind of out of my wheelhouse personally. I'm more of like a heavy metal Pantera kind of guy. So definitely out of my wheelhouse, but I love playing it. I love playing it live. I love the solo. I love the way Jen sings it. I do a lot of backups in it. And it's just a fun, happening song.
Yes, it is.
Jason, you're up next. Scarlet Sky.
The track is called Battle Within. I was hoping Nick would have joined us so he could describe everything that he wrote the lyrics for better than me. But I know that it has to do with many different types of battles that people go through in life. I know whether it's addiction or PTSD or just there's like thousands of battles. Whatever your battle is, it's you got to just, you know, hunker down and get through it. So whenever he was writing the lyrics to it, I wanted to try and go like a little bit more heavier of an approach. As the other songs, you know, they have like their own lane of which way they wanted to go. But Battle Within, we wanted it to hit the heart, if that makes any sense. So that particular song was thought out and written. It took a little bit more time to write that one. So I met Jazz through Ash, our drummer. Ash and Jazz are really good friends, which I'm so glad that I met Jazz, because Jazz is such a cool dude. And when we were recording, he helped with bits of advice and, hey, why don't you try, you know, doing a chord like this? Or he really gave his input on certain parts of the song, particularly that song, which really helped it stand out even more than what we expected it would come out. So, Jazz, I hope you're watching. Thank you again, brother, because you made that song come to life.
We have a few minutes for me to ask you some of those crazy questions. Anybody want to volunteer to go first? No.
Well, I think you be the test subject, man. Come on, what are you guys? I don't care. I'll go first. I can be the guinea pig.
Don't matter to me.
If you were going to go back in time for a full year and follow one band around to learn from that band, who would you follow, and why would you pick that band?
I'll name two: Queensryche and Led Zeppelin.
Okay, and why those two?
I love Zepp. But I want to know how they partied and what really happened with Nancy Wilson, and did they really tie her to a bed with a fish? You know, hey, man, have you ever heard the story? I mean, seriously. Okay. You might have to edit that out. I didn't swear, though, man.
No, you're good.
Okay. But it's in one of the books that I read. It's like, okay, what do they do to Ann and Nancy Wilson back in the day? So, yeah, I'd like to go back and follow them around during that period of time. And because I love Queensryche, I'd just like to see how their writing process was with DeGarmo. And I've met those guys, and they're super cool dudes. So,
anybody want to volunteer for the next question?
I like that
question. What am I gonna name? Okay. I want to answer that one. I already know it.
Yeah, no, that was easy. All right, I'll go.
Yeah, you go.
I'll go. I'll try it.
All right, Jason. If you could play with any musician, like you get to pick a band to go up on stage with, like Dave Grohl does to his fans, where they're holding up the sign and he picks somebody and brings them up on stage. Who would be Dave Grohl in that situation? So who's
James Hetfield from Metallica? That was like the main reason that I started playing guitar, was because of Metallica. And I think if I went up on stage, if it was the older stuff, I could probably wing it through just about any of their old tunes. But yeah, 100% Metallica.
Okay, Kyle, you ready?
Absolutely.
Okay, so an apocalyptic event happens, wipes out almost everybody on Earth. There's a handful of people that are left to populate the Earth. One song from every band survives. Which A Common Crown song is going to be there to help repopulate the Earth?
You know what's funny is I'm reckoning. Because that's totally, it's a politically charged song, but I mean, it's happening, it's grooving. It'll make you want to punch somebody in the throat. So if you got to chase down a world of peace to get yourself a day for the day, then by all means, you're going to get after it.
You want to do one more round of those?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. We'll start with Kyle this time. Sammy or Dave?
Oh, Sammy Hagar.
Jason didn't seem like he agreed there.
You know what? I'm a big Hagar guy. People can hate me for it, but, you know, I've always loved Sammy Hagar. He just has that voice, man. You know, and not that I don't like, you know, DLR, but I just think Sammy, he's a better singer in the melodic sense. DLR, I really, really like him, but I just don't think he has the same power that Sammy Hagar does. It's just my opinion.
I agree. I think David would be, he's more of a showman. Sammy's a better singer for sure.
Okay.
I love both, right? I love both. Yeah. It's like, you know, Ozzy. It's like Ozzy or Dio. Okay.
I love both.
But David Lee Roth helped to put Van Halen on the map and change the front man in that genre, for better or for worse, for a decade. And you know what? Sammy Hagar doesn't write Fair Warning. But you know what? David Lee Roth doesn't write the Sammy Hagar stuff either. And man, you get the best of both worlds. There you go.
Yeah,
clean that up, right?
Kyle. Well, since everybody's chiming in,
controversial.
If I went on tour with each of your bands, pick three other bands that we would listen to in between stops. So who would you be putting on the stereo system in the bus while we're traveling?
It'd be Queensryche, Led Zeppelin, and Van Halen with David Lee Roth. Hey, coming full circle.
Fair enough. For us, it would probably be, I think everyone in the band would probably agree, Seven Dust. And if you ask me, then probably Killswitch Engage recently. and had a growing fascination with the big sharks in your mouth, which sounds a little ridiculous, but they're really good.
Hey, Jason.
Kill Switch Engage, Judas Priest, and a little bit of Bach, just to soothe the soul.
As in the classical stuff, right?
Not yes, Sebastian. Sir. Mozart, okay. Handel, Paganini, Bach. Oh, I love
that. Nice.
I'd have to add Iron Maiden and Judas Priest.
All good choices.
All good choices, man. All good choices.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No doubt.
So I do want to thank all three of you for coming on and hanging out with me, and everyone who's in the chat room also.
Everybody. Find us, get it, download it. All these dudes are cool. Everybody on this album is absolutely talented. You'll get the best in Pittsburgh. So no doubt. It's great, great compilation CD. Thank you, Jazz.
And if you're looking to get a copy of it, each of the bands have copies that they're giving away for free. And you can also go to rattleclack.com and contact Jazz through there, or all the major downloading and streaming sites will have it. I know I saw it on iTunes and on Spotify already. So, and I think
if you look up Rattleclack compilation on YouTube, you will find it.
Fantastic, man. Thank you. Hey guys, good seeing you guys, man. Nice.
Definitely.
Nice.
Likewise. Thank you.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. Well, gentlemen, looking forward to playing all together sometime, hopefully soon.
Hopefully. Yeah,
that would be
down. Awesome. I'm that so down. Awesome. Let's do it. Hey.
Yeah! This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.